The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Our country is hot. We're doing a good job. Stock market just hit another high for the 59th time in 1 year. And it's been really great.
For the first time since World War II, the national debt is bigger than the size of the economy. New data from the Bureau of Economic Analysis shows the debt reaching $31.27 trillion at the end of March. That's the debt of about $114,000 per American. At the same time, gross domestic product was estimated to be $31.22 trillion year over year.
There's no question that no country has ever remained a superpower when its debt got too large.
The Congressional Budget Office says increased spending on programs such as Social Security and Medicare, as well as interest payments, are driving the changes. It estimates by 2030, the U.S. could break the all-time record of a 106% debt-to-GDP ratio set in 1946.
We have the very dangerous situation where we spend more on interest payments on the national debt than we do on national defense.
Since the Supreme Court ruling, participation in sports betting has grown significantly. A Pew Research survey from this summer found 22% of adults have bet money on sports over the last year, and specifically a quarter of all men. Online betting has become especially popular. Researchers found that 1 out of 10 U.S. adults have placed an online sports bet. And when you break that down by age group, 21% of men under 30 and 16% of women have done so. So that's compared to 9% and 6% respectively just 3 years ago. All of the interest in sports betting has helped the industry bring in record-breaking revenue. The American Gaming Commission found that sports books, such as those offered by DraftKings and FanDuel, took in $150 billion worth of bets in 2024, 22% more than in 2023. And digital sources like online sports books accounted for 30% of all commercial gaming revenue.
So Jim Vandehei, your latest piece with Mike Allen for Axios is titled Scaling Sin. And in it, you write about what's behind the rise of vices in the U.S., including gambling, cannabis use, and internet pornography. Tell us more.
Yeah, I don't mean to be a scold, but look at what's happened at the national level and you look at what's happened at the state level, and it's happened very slowly and bit by bit. But suddenly, if you're a young person, you can bet on anything, not just sports. You can bet on anything from your phone. You can invest in anything from your phone. You can get not just porn, you can like manufacture your own porn on your phone. And then you can, in most states, go and get weed that's probably 50 times as powerful as the weed when we were young. And little by little, you put those things together and you start to see why that there's a surge in the behaviors that flow from doing those three things. And I don't think anyone set out to necessarily scale sin, but little by little, we're all Las Vegas now. And it's been kind of bipartisan. It's not just a Republican or Democratic state that's doing it. It's both sides. And you take something like especially pornography, and you look at, you take these new technologies where, you know, you see this massive explosion of people utilizing these technologies to create, you know, seemingly real pornography scenes using real people, but augmenting it with technology. And so you've got all these new things that younger people in particular are having to deal with on top of all the stress of just being young. And I don't know that society's even thought that deeply about it, because there's so much other stuff going on, like the stuff we talk about on the show.
Except this is all devastating to younger Americans. Pornography is devastating to younger Americans. Gambling, devastating to all Americans. But again, early training them to gamble on everything is devastating.
The whole world, unfortunately, has become somewhat of a casino. And you look at what's going on all over the world, in Europe and every place, they're doing these betting things. I was never much in favor of it. I don't like it conceptually, but it is what it is. No, I think that I'm not happy with any of that stuff, but they have all these different sites. They have predictive markets. It's a crazy world. It's a much different world than it was.
But don't worry, America's hot. Religion is certainly hot. We're hearing a lot about religion. We're hearing a lot about Bible sales. I've covered some stories on this show where it talks about young people purchasing Bibles. And yet, as you heard, I mean, the big Axios reveal is that, well, there's a lot of sin and it's getting worse. And it's really impacting young people. But the subjects covered in this very kind of dry, almost, it's almost like they're excited to get into it. I don't want to be a scold, he says. The world is a casino. We're all Las Vegas. I agree. I certainly do. But there's nothing in the Axios piece about repentance or where this is leading or what the certainly nothing about what the Bible says. Scaling sin. I mean, it is all around. It is ubiquitous. It is everywhere. Everywhere is Las Vegas, or as the president put it, the whole world is a casino. You're listening to Stephen Fleur, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. It's good to be back with you after a couple of off days. Yesterday, rolling blackout. I don't think OG&E even knew what the cause of the power outage was, but it was out for a couple of hours, so it's nice to have some backup over at Edstone and some backup here as well when I do need to step away. You can get to the live video stream of this program at the website, thetrumpet.com, or at the Rumble channel or the YouTube channel as well. You can email the show as well, td@thetrumpet.com. So we've given you so many of these basic fundamental scriptures before, how that the whole world is deceived, as John wrote in Revelation 12. He also wrote in 1 John 5:19 that the whole world lies in wickedness. And previously, just a few programs ago, we talked about how that the scale is just getting worse and worse. The scale of evil, the scale of sin. That's 2 Timothy 3, verse 13. When the Bible says the whole world lies in wickedness, I mean, what does that mean? What is the extent of the sickness the prophet Isaiah talked about? Or the dearth of strong male leadership? Turn on talk radio or sports radio where the audience is mostly men and just listen to the commercials to see where we are as men, to see how many problems we have as men, to see how we just don't have leaders, strong leaders, masculine leaders. I mean, what passes for masculinity today? It's embarrassing. It should be humiliating to a man that has some strength, some discipline, some drive, some ambition. I tell you, there's so many different angles you could take to the Axios piece I just saw before the show. Mr. Hilliker wrote about it in the morning brief. So we have a lot to say about it. But, you know, another angle to this is it just makes you appreciate what we have in the Holy Bible. And even added to that, I mean, biblical manhood, if you have a copy of that and haven't gone through it in a while, it's a powerful message based on the Word of God. How does the Bible define manhood? We've got another one, conspiracy against fathers or fatherhood. Satan is in a red hot rage against God, his purpose, his plan. And he really is targeting men. He's the reason that men go missing. In prophecies like Isaiah 3, the women rule, the children are oppressive, the men not even mentioned. A world that lies in wickedness. Peter said, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. I mean, that's what happens when you come out of the world, which God says that we must. You know, another angle that you see, we've had some wonderful messages on this campus in recent weeks just about leadership and men how important, you know, the working class man of God's church is? Not just as a husband and a provider for a family, a leader spiritually, but also a support for the work of the church. You see what we're going up against every day, in every way. At Axios, it says, Las Vegas has long been known as Sin City for its 24/7 access to all kinds of indecencies. America's quickly becoming Sin Nation. Yeah, we used to call Vegas Sin City. Now it's Sin Nation. And it quotes President Trump, who said the world's turning into a casino. You heard it there in the cold open. It says, once forbidden vices, weed, gambling, and porn are no longer confined to black alleys or the desert. We make this point every year in Principles of Living. And this is why we put restrictions on phone use, even internet consumption, on this campus anyway. It's unheard of in the world. It says they're ubiquitous, digital, and spreading at a pace that has outstripped the country's social and regulatory guardrails. This guy says governments didn't turn a blind eye to most of this behavior. They encouraged it. We're scaling sin in real time. It has government support. The governor of Oklahoma, I guess he's on his way out. I'm not sure how many years he's been the governor, but he's basically pleading with lawmakers, you've got to dial back the access to marijuana. It's all over the state. And it's killing people. It's making us sick. It's destroying minds. Well, he didn't say this. I will. But he sees it's a problem. This was from just a Google search. Skip ahead to that bit. This is from a local channel here. Governor Stitt delivered his final State of the State address, urging lawmakers to eliminate the medical marijuana industry and the OSSAA, the road that runs right up to this campus and that beautiful building behind me. It's called Waterloo. And this is from Google AI. It says, Waterloo Road in East Edmond is a known hub for the medical marijuana industry. It's all for medicine, you know. Largely due to high concentration of licensed odor-producing cultivation facilities. The 3200 block of East Waterloo and nearby areas, such as Roby Drive, contain specialized flex industrial complexes that are 100% occupied by licensed cannabis grow facilities. These businesses grow large amounts of marijuana, which emits a strong skunk-like odor during the flowering stage, just around the corner. I mean, I've talked to you before about Satan just pushing his way of life right up next to the borders of this campus. Where on this campus, I mean, you have a type of the wonderful world tomorrow. But now we're seeing mass shootings, murder right across the street. And then you've got all of this concentrated growth of marijuana just down the road. It says, while the city of Edmond has previously acted against smaller illegal residential grows that were producing strong odors in surrounding neighborhoods, the East Waterloo Corridor operates as a legal high-density industrial zone for cannabis cultivation. It's making us sick. Sick. And we're getting sicker. This bit here from the Wall Street Journal. Behind the boom in psychiatric medication, there's just been a boom in this. And you've had, as the Axios piece brings out, you have the government promoting this kind of thing. Well, we've got to make these drugs cheaper. It's for medicine. It's to help people. The CDC reports that autism now appears in 1 in 31 children, a 381% increase since 2000. This is just a quarter of a century. And now we have autism all over the place. Childhood, ADHD diagnoses nearly doubled between 1997 and 2022. Childhood anxiety diagnoses rose 54%. Lots of anxiety, ADHD, all those things, skyrocketing. And together with it, the availability of all of these drugs that are meant to cure those things, right? The result is what economists call supplier-induced demand. Ideally, listen to this. We make this point every year in Principles of Living. Ideally, increased spending on mental health care would yield better mental health outcomes. Isn't that what is supposed to happen? You're putting more and more money into it, and you should be getting a better outcome, right? It says, instead, we've seen the opposite. Between 2000 and 2021, mental health care spending in the U.S. more than tripled, from $40 billion to $140 billion, while mental illness rates grew almost as dramatically. So we're spending three times as much, and we have three times as much of a problem. Here's another story about just throwing money at a problem and expecting these great results. The New York Post. New York City is dumping a record $43 billion into public schools. That's a whopping $44,000 per student. $44,000 going toward the education of one young person in New York City. Imagine if we've got a little academy here with 70, 80 students. Imagine if this church was able to put $44,000 into each student. I mean, as it is, we invest a fair bit into our young people. God does, I should say. But God wants a return on his investment. Despite the city spending $44,000 per student, too many of its schools are delivering middling results. And some parents are increasingly choosing charters over traditional public schools. Well, the city's just dumping billions into the school system, and parents are taking children out. All that spending has produced less than stellar results. According to the National Assessment of Educational Progress, only a third of fourth grade students rated proficient in math, and only 28% were proficient in reading. It says in eighth grade, 23% of city students were proficient in math and 29% in reading. Just dumping billions and billions into it. In the case of cannabis, I mean, that's billions and billions of tax revenue that states are just raking in. I mean, we've got to make the money because, well, we need to pour money into education. You see how it works? Sin Nation. Everywhere is Las Vegas. Back to this Axios piece. It says this shift in American governance, both at the national and local levels, didn't play out all at once or get kickstarted by a singular moment. It happened in 1,000 small ones, one app launch and regulatory retreat at a time. All of this, we talked recently about the great paradox. We produced a Key of David program on that subject. All of this technology, all of this sophistication, all of these gadgets and devices that billions and billions of dollars are sending to the classrooms. Everyone's got an iPad. Every student has a device. They've got the screen, so they're going to be really educated. The biggest factors that ushered in our more addicted, money-hungry America. Number one, smoking marijuana. Not long ago, you might have gone to jail for using pot, much less selling it. Now it's legal for the vast swath of Americans or a vast swath of Americans and serves as a primary tax engine for nearly half the country. Governments couldn't be happier because it's a new stream of revenue, tax revenue. 24 states plus D.C. have legalized recreational marijuana. And then 40 states allow medical use. Yeah, I'm sick, so I need to get high. I need to get stoned. Betting, it says here, the number two factor. There's no reason to visit a sports book when you have one in your pocket. That lack of friction is destroying the lives and arguably the morality of countless of young Americans, even as it fills state coffers. I mean, don't even get me started on, again, sports radio. I listen to the radio maybe 5 minutes a day, just in drives across campus. You flip it to sports radio, inevitably, you're going to get these commercials about low testosterone, or when the hosts are on, when there's no commercials going, then you're going to hear about, you know, betting. What are they supposed to win by tonight? What's the wage that we can put on it? I mean, this is talking about sports, I guess. Everyone has it in their back pocket now. It's like President Trump said in that cold open. You can bet on anything. The whole world's a casino. More than half of American men, ages 18 to 49, have an account with an online sports book. Half of working class men, young men, like we heard here on campus a couple weeks ago. How valuable are those men, age 25 to 55? I mean, that's the prime working age of life. Satan sees them as a massive target. And so many of them in the world, in Las Vegas, in Sin Nation, they're addicted to gambling. They're addicted to drugs. They're addicted to pornography. That's the third factor. Online pornography was already ubiquitous before artificial intelligence. Now, deepfake technology has created an entirely new category of harm that barely existed 2 years ago. So it's even worse, evidently, because of AI. Artificial intelligence, it's making us smarter, isn't it? Think of the billions and billions of dollars that's gone into that. That technology, that new thing. We're living in a world where pornography, it's just getting more sophisticated. There's entirely new categories emerging that barely existed even 2 years ago. This article says this is what happens when all three of the tectonic shifts we've told you about in governance, in the post-news era, and the use of AI collide at once. It's a great paradox. This is, I think it was Morning Meltdown talking about that scaling sin article at Axios, clip 16.
What message are they getting? It's fine. It's legal.
Yeah.
So I guess it's okay for me to do.
And it kind of happened overnight, right? Things that were completely illegal and something that would have been like you would never be able to talk about it in public is now commonplace. And I'm not saying you have to regulate this stuff out of business. I am saying that it's interesting that we've done this and we've not done any education to younger people about the consequences of gambling, the consequences of pornography, the consequences of smoking weed that is exponentially stronger, I think, than most people realize. And any common sense person would be like, obviously, that's going to have some effect on people. Just like now we're suddenly realizing that, hey, if you drink a lot of booze, it might not necessarily always be great for you.
Need to talk about the consequences. That's as strong as it gets. No repentance. Hey, listen, I'm not saying it needs to be regulated. Certainly not. This is America. We need freedom. We're all libertarians now. I mean, it's sin. It's not a Democrat or a Republican thing. I mean, it's working in both directions. And now our young people, they're addicted. They can't break away from it. And it's especially targeting young men. You can see it, obviously. When you turn on sports or sports radio, you can see just by listening for a few minutes what's wrong with our young men. What has happened to young men in our nation today? This is clip 17.
Yeah, and Jim, this is devastating for all younger Americans, but especially men. You look at porn, you look at gambling, you look at weed. I mean, it's young men who are disproportionately impacted by this, and it's causing a real crisis.
A real crisis. There's this other section. I lost the sheet on my notes, but play the. It's a montage. I think it's a Manosphere montage. Here's clip 18.
I don't make a big deal about it, but I am a man. Thank you for noticing. But lately, us men have not been doing so well. According to recent global studies, men are at the most risk of social isolation. And 2/3 of young men said, nobody really knows me well. But when it comes to concerning issues about males, social isolation is just the tip of the manberg.
There's something disturbing going on in our schools.
In every school and every postcode, rape jokes and rape threats are completely and utterly normalized.
This movement is just there for, like, hatred.
It starts on social media, but misogyny is mounting in classrooms. Female teachers are leaving the profession, and female students are on the front lines.
One of them would be crying every day before she had to go to school because she didn't feel safe in her classroom.
If you don't already know about what's called looks maxing, then your first reaction might be to laugh when you see it in action. But that would be wrong, because this phenomenon, born of course from the internet, is not only nonsensical, it's incredibly dangerous. And it's causing damage to Australian adolescent boys and young men. On the face of it, looks maxing is just that, maximising appearance, a kind of self-improvement that makes them irresistible to others. But how it's done defies belief. Looks maxers advocate drugs, surgery, and even self-harm, using a hammer to smash their faces to try to realign bone structures.
A new study from Common Sense Media finds nearly 3/4 of boys ages 11 to 17 regularly see digital masculinity content, most often about making money, building muscle, and content about fighting, weapons, or guns. 69% of young boys are also regularly exposed to what Common Sense calls problematic gender messaging, like the idea that girls only want to date certain types of guys.
I think it's very hard to be a teenager today, and it's really hard to be a teenage boy.
As you may have heard, the boys are not all right. It might be a man's world, but young men are struggling. The experts say they're struggling for a variety of reasons: how they view themselves, figuring out what it means to be a man in 2025, and there's data to back up these concerns. In education, for example, 6% fewer boys than girls graduate high school at all. 5% more boys than girls struggle with a mental, emotional, behavioral, or developmental issue.
I just think about all of those World Tomorrow programs from 50, 60 years ago, where Mr. Armstrong, when talking about the great paradox, he would highlight, you know, the disease, the malnutrition, the starvation in third world countries. And then he'd switch over to first world countries, where you have prosperity, you have wealth, but then you have this moral sickness and degeneracy. There's the show we put together recently. It's a great paradox. It's a sign that we're in the last days. Read 2 Timothy 3. Read the whole chapter. Read Isaiah 1 and 3. Those verses I mentioned at the start about this being a world filled with wickedness. It sure makes you appreciate God's truth. You know, I think about Mr. Armstrong's cold opens or the montages his team put together. I also think about what we wrote about at the Trumpet magazine 25, 30 years ago. I remember putting together a lengthy article that was just built around, I forget the name of that woman that wrote the book, The War Against Boys. But anyone could have seen this coming. And now here we are, and, you know, nobody's going to raise their voice even. Unless you're on sports radio. I mean, there you'll hear some passion. But when it comes to all the rest, the talking heads, well, Jim, tell us about Scaling Sin over at Axios. It is a good article. And what does God think? What kind of emotion does God show when he sees what we're doing to our families? When he sees what we're doing to our children, our young people? When he sees what we're handing them? Putting in their back pockets these powerful devices that take them where? Well, straight to gambling, straight to drugs, straight to pornography. And it's getting worse, if you can imagine that. It makes you appreciate the truth. Right at the end of the Old Testament, Malachi 4:4, remember you the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel with the statutes and the judgments. Remember your beginning. Remember how it all started. I mean, even America's history. Here we're coming up to, you know, rededicating the nation to God. That's this weekend. Well, we've got our commencement happening this weekend. And that's a lot more significant than any kind of national rededication, because there's no repentance. There's no repentance with it. There's no repentance discussed in Axios. Maybe a little bit about consequences. You know, they need to know that if you're addicted to gambling, it could destroy you financially. But hey, I mean, powerful people in government, they love promoting gambling and lotteries and smoking weed because it makes the state lots of money. There's a lot of very powerful, educated elites that know these vices are destroying lives, but they don't just turn a blind eye like Axios even notes. They promote it. They're behind it. They're selling it. Verse 5, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. The great and dreadful day of the Lord is coming. But about this Elijah, it says, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with the curse, it should read. I mean, God feels pretty strongly about this. Turning the hearts of children to their fathers, to the men, to the leaders, to the strong leaders. Lest I come and smite the earth with the curse, utter destruction. I don't think Axios even got into video games. There's, as we heard in a message recently, I mean, there's YouTube clips that go on for hours of some guy playing a video game. Not, you know, someone just getting on a video to play a video, but watching someone play a video game. Evidently, I guess that's very popular. Especially among young men. Isn't that great? What is happening to our world? Die by suicide. Scaling sin. Well, Axios is right to use the word sin. It's a shame they didn't use the word repentance. God feels strongly, as I say. Well, there's a few other bits I can squeeze in at the last, but this is a good time as any for a quick break. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
Celtic Throne is back on tour. This summer, 15 cities, 8 states, one unforgettable experience. Experience this revolutionary new show, an electrifying fusion of Irish dance, music, theatre and cinema. Experience the show audiences worldwide are raving about.
Absolutely fantastic.
I'm telling you that anybody that comes to see the show is going to be mesmerised.
I've seen the River Dance and the Lord of the Dance, and they were amazing. This blew me away. It was absolutely amazing. I'd watch it again now.
Absolutely marvellous. And I've been to see River Dance about 5 times, and this is amazing. Absolutely amazing. I love it.
It's thrilling, I think, is the best way to describe it. It stands at the side of Lord of the Dance and River Dance. It's equal partner.
Absolutely stunning. Absolutely incredible. Not in my wildest dream did I think that it could compare to the other shows, but it was amazing. Amazing.
My favourite show I've been to ever, and I've been to River Dance, Lord of the Dance, just my favourite. It was amazing.
But it was amazing. Best experience ever.
Don't miss your opportunity to experience the trailblazing new Irish dance show capturing the hearts of audiences all over the world. Get show and ticket information at CelticThrone.com.
On Iran, would you say the war is over? Is it paused? Or is it very much active?
Well, they're militarily defeated. In their own minds, maybe they don't know that. But I think they do because I deal with them. They are defeated, but that doesn't mean they're done. We could go in for 2 more weeks and do every single target. We have certain targets that we wanted to do, and we've done probably 70% of them. But we have other targets that we could conceivably hit. But even if we didn't do that, you know, that would just be final touches. But even if we didn't do that, it would take them many years to rebuild.
It really is astonishing to see how many new ways there are to characterize this war. Bibi Netanyahu, he was on 60 Minutes. He says it's not ended. There's still nukes that they're trying to build. There's still uranium. But all over the place about this war, about Iran. And you know, there may be some truth to the fact that the mullahs are as weak as they've been, but it's a hard line administration. Skip ahead to Bibi. This is what he had to say on 60 Minutes, clip 3.
Is the war with Iran over? And if it isn't, who will decide when it is?
I think it accomplished a great deal, but it's not over because there's still nuclear material, enriched uranium that has to be taken out of Iran. There is still enrichment sites that have to be dismantled. There are still proxies that Iran supports. There are ballistic missiles that they still want to produce. Now, we've degraded a lot of it, but all of that is still there, and there's work to be done.
This war cannot end until all those things are eliminated.
Well, certainly we want to get the nuclear material out.
A pretty straightforward answer, I think. A lot of it's been degraded, but there's still problems there. There's still belligerence. There's still defiance. There's still hatred for America, for Jews. All that's still there. There's a story, what was it, about October 7. Daily Mail. Hamas-led terrorists had not just executed these women. Speaking of October 7, this is the Daily Mail, they had deliberately and systematically defiled them as the most comprehensive account of the atrocity released by the Civil Commission today shows. The terrorists shot their eyes, their faces, and their breasts, and even targeted their most intimate parts to destroy their beauty and rob their loved ones of a final goodbye. Women were stripped, bound, stabbed, shot, and burned. They were executed both during and after rape, amid an orgy of violence in which 1,200 people were killed and 250 taken hostages. Heads were decapitated, pelvic bones shattered. Even after death, sexual assault continued. One witness said there was laughter, there were jokes. They were passing them from one to another. It was done for fun. So many gruesome, disgusting details. And look at how quickly the world forgets and moves on. And then makes Israel the bad guy. After being subjected to this. Yet another report. No one really will talk about it. It's too gross and gruesome. It's too violent. This is our world. It's a world full of wickedness. It's everywhere. How do you change the mindset? Bibi, in this interview with 60 Minutes, he talked about how that it hasn't been just him that has had this decades-long, you know, mission to eliminate this threat coming from Iran. He said, you know, Donald Trump has thought this way for decades. This is clip 4.
I came to the United States in 2016, right before the elections. Because I made it a habit to meet with the candidates of both parties, either in America or here. So I go to 2016, it's right before the elections, and I meet with Hillary Clinton, and then I meet with Donald Trump in New York. The first thing he says to me in Trump Tower is, we can't let Iran have nuclear weapons. I'm going to walk out of that terrible Iran deal. Jump forward 8 years later, there's another election. I meet President Biden and Kamala Harris in Washington, and then I go and meet Donald Trump in Mar-a-Lago. And the first thing he says to me, even before I sit down, he says, you know, Bibi, we cannot let Iran have nuclear weapons. I'm not going to let it happen. So he's infused with this mission.
Yes, indeed. They've both been on this mission. But as we keep saying, I mean, the mission is not yet accomplished. There's lots of doublespeak about what has been accomplished, particularly in the administration over here. But the hardliners are still in power. It's still the head of radical Islam. And you see the Psalm 83 alliance taking shape, by the way. I think it's UAE that is conducting operations against Iran. Just like the Bible says it will happen. You're going to have Iran leading radical Islam, the radical Islamist nations in the Middle East. And then you're going to have the nations in the Middle East that align themselves with Germany. And you already see these two groupings. And it's becoming more clear just since this war with Iran. But just going back to what Bibi said there, I mean, what an opportunity for him and for President Trump to finally go in and complete the job, to eliminate it entirely, to demand unconditional surrender. So close, trying to keep people's attention on what's at stake here. It's, as Bibi said in this 60 Minutes piece, it's a challenge because of the technology. Just skip ahead to clip 6.
In the digital age we live, where people just scroll and scroll and scroll, you know, the sense of history becomes dimmed. You know, you're lucky in some cases if it goes back to breakfast.
Transient.
Yeah.
Ephemeral.
Very ephemeral. And people don't understand always understand what I think is important. That our free civilization is both precious but also vulnerable. And if societies don't have the will to defend themselves, they'll be overtaken by the barbarians.
Our sense of history is dim, he says there. There's no depth. It's all so shallow. I mean, even if you're scrolling away at content that's not pornography, what's it doing to our education, to our understanding, to our wisdom, to our strength? Our strength of character, what's it doing to our relationship with God or with the Bible? It's a great paradox. I didn't get a chance to read from this article on the great paradox. Mr. Armstrong wrote this back in June of 1980. He said, no nations ever so rich, none ever so blessed by Almighty God, and now we stand condemned to total disaster. He titled this America the Beautiful, America the Condemned. Well, now that's not a very popular approach to take on this 250-year celebration we're coming up to. But this is where our sins are taking us. I mean, what? Forget about the consequences for an individual that might be addicted to gambling. What are the consequences for the nation? God talks at the end of Malachi about utter destruction. He says here, our beloved country, yours and mine, now faces total destruction. It will come soon. It will come soon. Further on, he says, candidates for president know many of the causes, drawing us now rapidly into the vortex of utter disaster. Why are they afraid to tell you the real truth about inflation, balance of payments, problems with other nations, dollar devaluation, many other evil causes, which they knowingly perpetuate? He said, this is back in 1980. Why do not theologians, doctors of divinity and of theology, evangelists, religious leaders shout this warning to you? He says they simply do not understand God's prophecies. They do not preach what God's word says. They take a piece of a sentence or a paragraph here and there out of context, yet they leave about 98% of the Bible unread and unpreached. They just ignore 98% of the Bible. What does the Bible say about addictions? What does the Bible say about sexual impurities? What does the Bible say about gambling? God has an opinion. God has a view on these things. God has commandments. Mr. Armstrong says, well, he encourages his readers to wake up. Further on, he writes, God has blessed us as no other nation. Not only has he blessed us with material wealth and national greatness unmatched, but he has blessed us with his truth, which our nations have spurned. This is the message that America needs on its birthday. We have been blessed as no other nation has been. He says, we have made atheistic evolution the very foundation of our educational system in which we have reared our children. Hundreds upon hundreds of our churches have idols that are adored. We Americans took our land away from the Indians and treated them unfairly. Our sins are monumental. The phrase, you shall know that I am the Lord, is frequently used by Ezekiel, designating Christ's second coming in glory and power. I mean, this is the same author of the United States and Britain in prophecy, telling the people of America, look, God gave you this land and all these blessings. He gave it to us because of the obedience of our great patriarch, Abraham. And now we see those blessings being taken away. He goes through quite a few scriptures later on in the long article. And he says at the conclusion, we have never yet come to a time when men will clutch at their stomach and loins in fright and fear and in pain as a woman in childbirth. Such a time is now just around the corner. He says, this warning is direct from the Word of God, not my imagination. You can read it yourself in the Bible. All the warnings are right there. They're right there in God's Word. They're right there in the Holy Bible. He says, I have not overestimated the seriousness of this. The time has now come for this serious warning to go forth in mighty power. It says millions will see this warning in the plain truth. Well, as with anything of God or God designed, you look at the big picture and you see how the devil went after the plain truth, went after the Worldwide Church of God after Mr. Armstrong died in 1986. How the devil went after Mystery of the Ages. The devil took out the World Tomorrow program. He destroyed Ambassador College. And you see what he's doing to our nations today and how he's attacking the institutions of marriage and family, because those are God-ordained. God made those. God established marriage from the very beginning. He said it's not good for man to be alone. And that at a certain point, you should leave your father and your mother and be joined to your wife. And be joined together, cleave to one another. And so Satan goes to work ripping those apart, those marriages, those families. And even if they stay together in a big house, even if they're together physically in one home, one household, they're far apart mentally, spiritually. They're so far apart. There's so much sickness. Like Jesus said in the Gospels, I mean, we need a healing. We need an intervention from God. We need to see that, yes, sin is worsening. And the solution to that sickness is repentance, always. Turning from our wicked ways. You know, reading 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 14, in its entirety. Don't skip over 98% of the Bible. Read all of it and you'll see. You'll see what God says about the destruction of family at the end of Malachi. I read it to you. You see what God says in the book of Revelation. You see what God says all through Bible prophecy. The sure word of God's prophecies, as I say, with this sickness, with this cancer, with sin scaling, it really does make you appreciate all the more God's precious truth. And it's there. It's there for the taking. It's there. It's probably on your shelf, just across the room. And what we need to do is crack it open and start studying it with diligence. Like it says at the end of Zechariah 6, be a good workman, as it says in 2 Timothy 2. Really strive to please God in the way you work at your study of His Word. Well, there's a lot of other points I can make. A lot! But I'll have to save those for another time because we are out of time. The fastest moving hour in broadcasting. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. And we'll see you tomorrow.